They call me the plop man. It's my job to make sure we have some running water and working toilets around here. The day we start crapping in the swamp is the day we've lost what's left of our dignity. And getting caught on the job by one of those monstrosities in their demented garb doesn't bear thinking about. It's one of the things I find most unsettling about them, that they still have enough sense left to try to dress themselves. They just don't quite get it right. You see them with one shoe on the wrong foot, or trying to wear gloves where they've shoved too many fingers in one hole and left the others dangling. There was one hanging around one of the safe zones for days with a saucepan on its head. It must have mistaken it for a baseball cap. The kids used to throw stones at it from behind the barricade. 5 points if you ping the saucepan. 10 if you hit the handle and make it spin. You could almost feel sorry for it, standing there dumbly like that. Then you remember what they're capable of and you change your mind. I saw one once wearing a young girl's dress like some grotesque vest. The thing must have taken it from one of its victims. It had a tear down one side, and what looked like a large blood stain on the front. We try not to use ammo if it isn't absolutely necessary, but I felt compelled to put a bullet through that bastard's brain. It's a chilling thought that it could be any of us out there stood staring at a fence post for hours as if trying to remember what it is. This virus or whatever is the cause of this pandemic not only robs you of your wits, it also transforms your body so that you end up looking like the victim of an experiment to make a superhuman that went badly wrong. But you should never let the shambling docility fool you for a second. The way they transform into ferocious predators when they sense food is terrifying. Many people lost their lives in those early days before we found out how fast and aggressive they become when in a feeding frenzy. Still, better to be killed than end up one of them. Thanks to my new role as self-taught, some would say half-assed, plumber, I spend a fair bit of time down in the sewers. I've grown to like it down there. You get used to the smell, and even the rats, some of which are as big as cats. They're just trying to survive like the rest of us. It's been a steep learning curve for us survivors, realizing we have to fight every day just to survive like a regular member of the animal kingdom. It's tough being back on the menu after all this time. No driving to the supermarket when we've run out of ice cream for us anymore. No dentists when you have toothache. We do have a form of dentistry, but it operates at a similar level to my plumbing. Our dentist used to be a car mechanic back when the world was the same place. We have a hospital too, but the type of surgery you get in there doesn't involve any anesthetic and has a very high risk of fatality. On the plus side, having one or two electronics experts and some guys who seem to enjoy standing there all day shooting at stuff, we do have some relatively safe places we call safe zones. The electronics guys came up with a device that emits a sound that we can't hear, but the deadheads can't stand. It does mean we have to run generators all day, but fortunately, fuel isn't something we're short of, at least for the foreseeable future. We have a single working truck that has a portable version of the sound barrier, and that allows us to loot some of the heavier stuff or transport the vulnerable with relative safety. As long as the sound barrier works, I've seen what happens when it fails and you don't have a good enough contingency plan. We had a safe zone near the Wilson Bridge. We'd become complacent because of the new sound gadget and thought we were safe in there. We had a couple of barricades, and yours truly whose turn it was to play night watchman. To my eternal shame, I was asleep when the Jenny failed and we lost the sound barrier. There must have been a swarm of epic proportions outside as they destroyed the barricade as easily as if it were made of matchwood, and they were in. Fortunately for me, or unfortunately it seems sometimes late at night when I get to thinking, I was just to the side of the entrance, and was knocked to the ground and trampled as they headed for the sleeping forms on the other side of the room. I scrambled to my feet, groggy from sleep and bruised from the trampling, and grabbed my AK, but the scene that greeted my sleep-clogged eyes was a vision straight from hell. One of the really huge ones had a guy upside down in a bear hug, and was tearing at his buttocks like a dog with a stuffed toy, while another stood on the bed, tearing open his stomach to get at his insides. The screams will haunt my nightmares forever. These things can pull a person apart as easily as a child with stickle bricks. Another had a severed head in its hands, and was gnawing and slurping at the neck stump. I could tell from the long black hair trailing beneath who it had been. The urge to have revenge with my AK was almost overwhelming, but it would have been suicidal with so many of them. Though maybe that would have been the better option. To my shame, I turned my back on the horror, scrambled over the now broken barricade, and fled into the freezing night. I made it across the bridge to the old police station on Green Lane, but by the time a group of us returned with machine guns, there was no one left to save. Not even anything you would recognize as once belonging to a human being. Well, it seemed there was no one left, and then the door of one of the vehicles that made up the front barricade opened, and a guy stepped out. He'd been taking a leak when the attack happened, and made it into the back of the car where he hid on the floor until we arrived and started shooting. He had to lie there and listen to that whole thing, feeling guilty at not trying to help, and wondering if he'd be found. We never spoke of that night. I would catch his eye occasionally, and the hunted animal look that met my gaze told me all I needed to know. He disappeared one day, and no one has seen him since. Maybe he got caught out on a solo looting mission, or maybe he just couldn't take the guilt any longer. I know how he feels,